is the highest principal in business making the most money. That is the impression according to a surprising story in Mother Jones magazine about the company Hobby Lobby. You'll recall that Hobby Lobby, a craft store chain, argued last week before the U.S. Supreme Court that its religious principles would be violated if it was compelled to offer health care plans under Obamacare that covered contraceptives, including the so-called morning after pill, the emergency contraceptive drug. The Mother Jones story shows that Hobby Lobby's 401k retirement plan for employees holds more than $73 million in mutual funds in companies that produce emergency contraceptive pills, intrauterine devices, and drugs used in abortions, according to documents filed with the Department of Labor. Molly Redden is a staff reporter for Mother Jones, and she broke the story. Molly, welcome.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me.
So what have you found in the sort of investment portfolio of Hobby Lobby that would seem to argue against their statement of principles before the U.S. Supreme Court?
Well, we took a look at some of the holdings in the mutual funds contained in their employee savings plans. And what we found is that in several of them, there are holdings in companies like Pfizer and Teva Pharmaceuticals and other companies that manufacture not only the emergency contraceptives that they would like to remove from their employee health care plans, but some drugs that are used to cause abortions. And we thought this was important to bring to the political conversation because to Hobby Lobby, the idea that their employee health care plans might someday be used for one of their female employees to take emergency contraceptives was so offensive to them that they argued all the way up to the Supreme Court. So we just thought it was interesting that in their investment portfolios, sort of, you know, the same indirect support for some of these companies was there.
What is the likelihood that the folks at Hobby Lobby, you know, just were unaware of this sort of thing, or that their lack of vigilance about their 401k retirement plans does not contradict the arguments that they made before the Supreme Court, even though on paper it seems to contradict?
Well, it's not clear to us to what extent they knew. We reached out to Hobby Lobby last week with a pretty detailed summary of some of our findings, and they never got back to us on whether they've changed their policies since these papers were filed in 2012. Now, that was after they first sued the government, but they haven't told us whether they've changed their plans. Now, if they wanted to divest from some of these institutions, they could do so. There's sort of a cottage industry of mutual funds out there, the Timothy Plan, the Ave Maria Fund, run by religiously minded individuals that have screened mutual funds for companies that religious business owners might find objectionable.
So your argument there would be if Hobby Lobby was really serious about keeping its retirement and investment portfolio free of what it views as ideologically impure businesses, it certainly had the option of doing that. There were clear avenues for doing that.
That's right. It could do so. And, you know, again, we don't know if this is just something that never occurred to them. But in their business, a lot of ways to avoid entanglements with companies that they sort of disagree with morally have occurred to them. They don't sell shot glasses, for example. They're closed on Sundays. They don't fill the extra space in their trucks with beer, what's calling backhauling beer, to help liquor distributors and beer distributors get their product to far-flung gas stations for some extra money.
So is this an aha in your view? Is it inconsistent? Does it say, at least in theory, that, you know, one cannot, you know, make a religious case in business because this sort of thing takes place in church, not in the investment portfolios?
Well, we do find it inconsistent. You know, I don't think this has a lot of bearing on Hobby Lobby's legal argument because neither Hobby Lobby nor the government asked the Supreme Court to consider the sincerity of their religious beliefs. But we do think it's an important dimension for the political conversation. An ordinary person probably wouldn't mind if some very small portion of their employee savings plan was vested with a company whose business they didn't agree with. But Hobby Lobby isn't an ordinary company. When they disagreed with a very small provision of their employee health care plan under Obamacare, they took it to the Supreme Court.
So would you say that based on your view of Hobby Lobby in its entirety, financially in its entirety, that making money is a higher value than sort of religious values regarding contraception?
Well, I don't know if we could conclusively say that based on what we found in their mutual funds. And I also want to note that the difference between sort of a religiously minded set of mutual funds and a more traditional one, the return on your investment doesn't seem to be that large. I think the point of exposing this was to sort of say that when you're a business owner and you're involved in our markets in lots of complicated ways, you know, inevitably you have ties with businesses whose operations you might not agree with. And the ability to insulate yourself from that is not infinite.
So perhaps the takeaway here is not so much an issue of principle, but a question of execution, that if the government is going to start enforcing and the courts are going to start enforcing religious principles in every aspect of business for companies that want to preserve some principle, as a matter of practice, it's almost impossible. That's what this story shows.
That's right. And for a business to sort of selectively pick out items of its operation and demand the ability to run those according to the personal moral beliefs of some of their owners can be very hypocritical.
Molly Redden is a staff reporter for Mother Jones. Thanks so much, Molly.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.